This is the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast with Javi Gancedo and Frankie Sachs.
Welcome to episode number 33 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. I am your co-host Frankie Sachs, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host Javier Gancedo. And tell the good people, what time is it?
It is still playoffs time, and I think we're having some of the best series in history. It's three series we saw home and away teams already winning. Anything can happen, and I think it's going to get even better because the drama is going to be there. Elimination games are coming next week for sure.
I think this is a fantastic week of basketball, or was a fantastic, and we're looking at another one. It's great if you are just playing the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge. It's great if you're just a fan of basketball. Probably not so great if you're betting on the games, though.
Yeah, well, but if you're a fan of the eight teams, that's when you get the full experience, I think.
Absolutely.
If you're a Panathinaikos fan and you're waiting until your team plays, I think they play Wednesday, they play Tuesday. Right? You're waiting until Tuesday to see if your team can get that second win, or if they go 2-1 down, then you're have the backs against your wall. And the other way around with Maccabi, it's six teams in this situation. So
yes,
and then all these Baskonia fans are filling the arena to see their team try to survive against Real Madrid, who's in a role. I mean, it's a great time to be following the EuroLeague in general.
A lot of great basketball last week. A lot of great basketball to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be here to work on it and to see if we can do well in the Fantasy Challenge. And as every week, we have some suggestions for you guys, and let's see how it goes. But I don't know how you want to do it. Do you want to go series by series, or?
Yeah, let's talk about the players who've impressed, who've disappointed, and who you might want to have this week. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's start with chronologically speaking. I think Maccabi Panathinaikos is the first game.
Let's go for it.
Of course, Kostas Lucas has been, I think, the man of the playoffs right now. He played really well. It was really unfortunate because in game one, he had 13 assists, career high, and one turnover. But what turnover was that? The one turnover to win the game.
Absolutely.
When Panathinaikos had the opportunity to take the lead and he picked up that turnover. Then I would say that players who have surprised me, I would say none, really. I think, if anything, the player that has disappointed me so far is Dinos Mitoglou. I expected a lot of good things about him, mainly because I thought Maccabi was weak at the fourth position. But then Jake Cohen, Jaciel Rivero, and Webb, they have all, proved me wrong, basically. I think Maccabi has been really strong at the fourth position, and that has forced Mitoglou to have a couple of subpar games. And I don't know, what do you think? I'll leave you Maccabi. You know them better than me.
Well, Webb is, you know, only a couple threes away from having had a monster series so far. He's been good, but he could have, especially fantasy-wise, but even just on the floor, the threes have not fallen for him so far. But that's what's separating him from being a breakout player at this point. When you're analyzing Maccabi, though, for now, for the series and going forward, you have to. It all starts with the one player who's missing, which is Wade Baldwin, injured in the third quarter of the first game, not there for the comeback, missed all of game two. He is, you know, for sure the star of the team, and there's a lot of minutes to fill. And then you start having to figure out, where do those minutes come from? Perhaps, in fact, some of those minutes are even coming for those guys at the four, because you might imagine in a different situation, if he's there more, you rotate in some guys, three guard lineups, Bonzi Colson plays more at the four. This situation, less for Bonzi at the four, so it creates more minutes for Webb, Jay Cohen. And then you just have to guess of the potential guys, what are they adding and who do you believe in the most? Is it Webb? Is it Tamir Blatt? Is it Antonius Cleveland? Is it John DiBartolomeo? And a case can be made for all of them, especially at their different price points. I believe that you have on your team some of those players, correct?
Yeah, I do. Right now, at this point, I have DiBartolomeo and I have Jake Cohen, but I don't expect them to be my final lineup. I mean, they're right now in the starting lineup just because they play in turn one, but they're basically cheap players to fill for the others that I really want. But I mean, if they have them, it's because I prefer them over players with the same price, you know?
Yes.
We'll see. One thing that we are not talking about, and we should, is this matchup between Lesort and Nibo. It was really anticipated, and it has a clear winner so far. Lesort is playing much better than Nibo. Can we expect anything different in games 3 and 4?
I do wonder. I expect Nibo was good in game one, not great, but good. He had a very tough game in game two. I do expect a bounce back from Nibo. But Lesort put up PIRs of 26 and 22, in part because he's drawing a lot of fouls, and he could have had monster numbers. He made more free throws. He missed a lot of free throws in the first game. For now, I have Lesort in my lineup. I'm just too nervous to go into too many Maccabi players. Although, like I said before, because of the pace Maccabi plays at and the fact that Baldwin is gone and there's more, well, we don't know that for sure, but I don't expect at the time where we're taping this that Baldwin will play in game three, but that's a game time decision. Everything we're saying about Maccabi suddenly changes if Baldwin's going to start or give it a go. Then it really throws a wrench into the plans. But if there's no Baldwin, that increases the value of a lot of guys because Maccabi is still going to push the pace. So all those guys are worthy. I'm going with three Maccabi players. I can see a case for Nebo, but I'm holding off and I'm sticking with Lesor. But yeah, I there will be it'll be a fast-paced game. There'll be a lot of rebounds. There's a lot of opportunity for Lesor and for Nebo. It's the matter of where you're comfortable. Nebo is cheaper. Lesor has been a bit better this series.
Yeah, well, so has been, I think, a lot better. 25 per fantasy points and Nebo almost 11, so almost twice as much. Anyway, moving on to Barca against Olympiacos. By the way, you're wearing a 2011 Final Four t-shirt.
I am,
That's the
yes.
one that Ricky Rubio couldn't play because they lost against Panathinaikos with the home court advantage. They're in a similar situation. They're 1-1, and maybe they'll miss the Final Four playing in Greece like they did in 2011. Rubio has been so, right? I mean, I think he lost a little bit of his mind in game one, played much better in game two. And I think that him and Satoransky being focused are the key for Barca to win. Not necessarily fantasy wise, but if I think that if they keep their composure in Piraeus, Barca will have a good chance to win one or maybe two games.
Apropos Rubio, I actually thought when they were down 70-75 with a little over a minute to go and Rubio came with that steal and forced the unsportsmanlike foul, I thought that was going to be the Rubio magic moment. He was going to take it over. They were going to score. He made the free throws, but then he turned it over. But I thought that was going to win the game right there, and it didn't happen. But when you watch Rubio, even though he hasn't played, certainly game one didn't play great, you do feel like magic can happen at any second, and there's something exciting there. I think that Barcelona is the most exciting team to watch right now, just because they are of the eight teams, the one who's got the most potential to still reach. And if they put it all together, they can be the best team. Because of players like Jabari Parker, who had a monster game too. It's the
Yeah.
indiv it's all that individual talent when it comes together. I think that they are a supremely talented team. Will it all come together? That's the real question.
Okay, I have several things to say. First, Vesely has not been playing well, but he's trying. He's trying hard. He had a horrible game one, probably one of the worst playoff games of his career. But then in game two, he had seven offensive rebounds, meaning that he's trying. Things are not going well for him for whatever reason. Probably the size advantage with Milutinov and Foll is too much for him. I don't know. But I think Vesely is going to be improving throughout the series, and I think he's a player that everybody should have. Also, I'm surprised to see that the fantasy leader in the playoffs for Olympiacos is Filip Petrušev. He has more fantasy points than anybody else. That means that I mean, some players should step up, really. And I'm expecting Alec Peters in particular to have a really, really good game. Games 3 and 4. If I had to recommend the two players, would be Vesely and Peters. Also, McKissick, I think he's going to be energized by the crowd, and he's going to be playing better also. And if I have to choose a second Barca player, that would be probably Alex Abrines. He had 5 3-point shots in the game in Piraeus. Of course, it was regular season game two. He has been in a good moment in terms of hitting shots. And I think his team is going to need him to steal that road win. So Abrines and Vesely, and then McKissick and Peters would be my choices in this game.
What about Willie Hernan Gomez?
I think that if that kind of... I mean, Hernan Gomez is the leader, or was the leader in the regular season in PAR for 30 minutes. So, I mean, that explains that he's a really good fantasy player in general. But I think that if Vesely is going to play better and better... Hernan Gomez will see less minutes, maybe. So we'll see. But I mean, I think whoever dominates the paint is going to win the series. And Olympiacos has more old school centers with Fall and Milutinov, and a more dynamic player like Moses, right? But they need Vesely and Hernan Gomez to be at the top, top form to beat Olympiacos. So. We'll see. But if I had to choose between Hernan Gomez and Vesely, I would go with Vesely.
I'm staying away from both of them at this point, just because there's other options, and it does make me nervous, especially in Poyos, that this could be even a lower scoring game. It could be a grinded out game, which is not good for fantasy.
I feel you, yeah. It is. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be. If you see the leader in fantasy in the playoffs is Parker with 18.1 points, which is not a lot. And second overall is Petrusev 14.9. So it's not a series. It's a very defensive series. Maybe we should look elsewhere to see who's going to be, the fantasy hidden star of game 3 and 4, right?
Yeah, I do have Parker on my team. I had him for game 2, and I'm keeping him for game 3. But he's the only player from that series that I'm having. Though I do think that there is a chance that Alec Peters, because of his all of his skills, stretch 4 is almost immune to being slowed down by a slow series. That's what he's made for. Does stretch the floor, make his shots, and at home if those threes go in, then he could have a lot of points. I endorse Peters for anyone who wants to take him, though I don't think he will be on my team this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
This week, I'm only talking about game 3. A lot can change game 3 and game 4. So when I'm saying a guy like Peters may not be there, I have right now 5 guys on my team between Real Madrid and Baskonia. And if Real Madrid wins game 3, that's 5 spots that open up that I will be filling up with guys like Alec Peters, who I like, but I'm not taking right now.
Yeah. Well, moving on to Monaco. Well, Fenerbahce Monaco game 3. I have Saras as coach. Let's begin with that. I think Fenerbahce is going to be really strong at home. It has been all season. They're going to win game 3. And that's why I'm getting him, and I'm getting Hayes Davis, who has been fantastic. Even when it doesn't look like he played really well, in the end, he's averaging almost 21 fantasy points in the playoffs. So I think right now it's a must with so little number of players available and so little number of stars. You need a player like Hayes Davis, like pretty much in each game, in each round. And I'm going with Saras and I'm going with Hayes Davis. Let me see if I have somebody else. No, actually, it's just that. Hayes Davis and Saras are my choices for this week.
Javier, are you familiar with the saying, do as I say and not as I do?
I heard it a couple of times, yes.
So my advice to everybody out there would be, you need to see the series, see how guys are playing, and not get stuck in what you thought a week ago. You have evidence of 2 games and how things have gone and who's hot. And if that's the case, then everything that you're saying, Nigel Hayes-Davis played well, he should be on your team. I forget, there was something else you said also that kind of falls into that. Or another case would be Kostas Lucas, who's been on fire. Unstoppable, coming off his best offensive game or 2 of his back-to-back. I mean, the 13 assists game 1, the career-high 29 points in game 2. So that's what I see, and I would tell everybody, learn from that and have those players because they're finding matchups and they're working. What you should not do is get stuck in your thoughts from a week ago. However, unfortunately, I am still concerned that John Brown will make life difficult for Nigel Hayes-Davis. I know that, so I'm not taking Nigel Hayes-Davis because of that. And I am concerned or I can't envision, if I expect both Real Madrid to win and if I would expect Fenerbahce to win game 3 at home, I can't imagine Fenerbahce winning by a larger margin than what I think Real is capable of. So I'm keeping Chus Mateo as my head coach, not Charis. Mm-hmm. But I understand why you're doing it. All the signs could have pointed to, you know, a week ago I wrote on the website that Fenerbahce is a team that's hard to beat in Istanbul. If I stick by that, then they should end the series this week. So why would I not go for Nigel Hayes Davis or Charis? I don't know. Maybe I'm being stubborn. So I would advise people to consider them, but personally, I'm not there, at least not yet.
It also depends on injuries. And let me explain. If Kostas Papanikolaou is going to play, and he was sick, I mean, he has to play, I guess. No sickness lasts for more than a week, I guess. If Papanikolaou is available, then Peters will go down to his natural position at the four. He'll be more dangerous, and he'll be a better fantasy choice, I think. Same goes with Fenerbahce. If Motley is not going to play, then Motiejunas, who has played really well until now, he should keep playing well. But if Motley is adding to the equation, then anything can happen. Of course, Papagiannis and Sanli would be bad choices because they'll see less minutes. But what about Monaco? I don't know. Motiejunas has been amazing. He's been hitting shots, scoring in the low post, rebounding, doing really, really, really well. I think he's been probably my biggest fantasy surprise of the week, of last week. But right now, if I think that Motley is going to play, I'm not even considering Motiejunas. I think that's bad news for Monaco.
In general, with one of the things that is so different, fantasy-wise at least, if we're just talking about strategy, how you build your team, when there's 9 games in a given round in the regular season, you can always find a couple matchups that stand out, a couple superstars playing against weak teams, and you build your team accordingly. Here we're very limited, only 4 games, and if you don't want one because they're playing against excellent defensives and it might be a slower pace and you don't want another because of a gut feeling, all of a sudden there's not much to choose from. So we have to take players that we have a little bit less confidence in or matchups that are a little bit more questionable. That's why finding people whose value increases or minutes go up because of injuries is so valuable. One person who we did not mention is Papa Petrou, Giannis Papa Petrou from Panathinaikos, who played only a handful of minutes in game one, two or three minutes. I was a completely non-role, and then had 15 minutes and a huge role in game two. What was the difference in game one and game two? Juancho Hernan Gomez was ill and did not play in game two. If he stays out, yeah. If Hernan Gomez doesn't play game three, it's Papa Petrou. Relevant? Absolutely. Check the injury report on Tuesday when you finalize it. That's somebody who was not priced high and could be relevant. All these guys in Maccabi, if Baldwin's out, they're relevant. Like the guys you just mentioned, Papanikolaou impacts the Olympiakos rotation. Motley impacts the Fenerbahce rotation. So we're just talking about what we've seen so far and what we like, but really the most important thing is what injuries haven't happened yet. We don't know about what happens last minute. So Tuesday is really when you have to buckle down, check the injury report, see what's going on, and everything could change. And fortunately, unlike the regular season, unlimited moves. So if those things happen, you're safe. You can tear it down and rebuild the whole team in 10 minutes.
You talk about what we've seen so far, and what we've seen so far, what we saw on your league TV.
That is right. And that is where we will see games 3 and 4, and if necessary, game 5.
And we'll be there at the Final Four, but we'll have EuroLeague TV on because we like to double check things. You can go back. You can follow the game better than anywhere else. It's great.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anyway, we don't have much time left, so let's talk about the other series, Madrid Baskonia. Everybody assumes that Baskonia will be eliminated soon, but I don't think that's the case. I think they're really strong in their home court, and anything can happen in West Arena. And if they go back to Madrid, then it's a do or die game. So Campaz is playing amazing. I think that the number one priority is to stop him. And Miller McIntyre is playing also well. So it's going to be a battle of the guards there. But if you check the stats, second and fourth in fantasy points in the playoffs is Tavares and Poirier. They're making the most out of their size advantage in the paint. No Khalifa Diop, no Chima Moneke. So Baskonia is kind of, well, has a short rotation down there in the front court. Should we go for Tavares or Poirier or both?
That is risky. It's very risky to go for both because it's very possible one has a strong game and one does not. And if you're going for both, then you're putting both your centers in turn two and you're locked into them. I could say this might be a clever strategy if they were playing on Tuesday, but on Wednesday I would advise against it. I have a hunch that that Real is going to sweep the series. I think, you know, look at the team. What are their strengths and what got them there? Chima Moneke was a big reason that they got there. Even though he wasn't there for the final win in the play-in showdown, now this is already their fifth game without him, if you include the Spanish League, right? Three Euro League games, a couple Spanish League games. Maybe even their sixth. At a certain point, it takes a toll on everybody else, having to make up for those minutes, that production. I thought Sedekerskis was a shoo-in. You had to have him if Moneke is out. But he struggled against Real Madrid's size, strength, power, depth. So I think Real wins the series already in game three. Despite not disrespecting the Baskonia character, I just don't know if they can do it. I do have Howard on my bench because I do think that he might go down shooting. And depending on how my turn one players go, then maybe I'll bring him in. Maybe I won't risk it. I'll decide that late Tuesday night. But I think that there's too much value, fantasy wise and in real life, on Real Madrid. And I've got three Madrid players right now in my lineup. I've got Campazzo, I got Tavares, I have Hazonia. Like I said, I expect Real to take to sweep the series.
If fantasy was ruled by points a game and not PAR, then Marcus Howard would be a must for everybody. He would be the leader of everything. But I have to say that this weekend in Palencia, he had 36 points and a PAR of 30. So there's hope in that sense.
He was MVP in round 33 or 34 recently.
Right, exactly. So I think he's going to bounce back in front of his fans. Also, I have to say that Sedekerskis also had a bounce back game. Huge, 33 points, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 36 PAR. Costello had 22 PAR. Of course, this is a bottom of the table Spanish league and not Real Madrid, exactly. But I expect Sedekerskis and Howard to play really well next week. Let's see if it's only one game or two. But I think that if Howard has a good night, Baskonia should win at least once. We'll see what happens. Anyway, let's go move on to the teams. Like I said, I have Jesse Kevicius as head coach, and my starting lineup is Vesely, McKissick, Peters, Slukas as captain, and Di Bartolomeo with Larentzakis at the sixth man because he's only four credits. And on the bench, in case, I have Campazzo, Tavares, Hayes Davis, hell of a bench, and Rakabopoulos. So that's my team.
Yeah, I might still make a change. Particularly Orko Babus, who is 5.5, is that what it says? And I've got more. I may switch him to somebody else in the sixth range right now. Someone who plays on Tuesday, like perhaps Papa Petrao or Cleveland. But right now, what I have as of taping, I have Lesor as my captain, Chus Mateo as my head coach. My forwards are Colson and Parker. And my guards are Blatt and Brown. And on the bench, I have all the guys from the five guys I've mentioned from that Real Madrid-Baskonia game. Rokopoulos, Howard, Hazonia, Tavares, and Campazzo. I do think I'd rather get a sixth guy playing on Tuesday. And maybe Rokopoulos is the guy to go. Since there is some value in that 6 to 6.5 points range between Cleveland, Papa Petrao, I'm not even sure who else, but that's probably an upgrade I will make.
It's interesting. We have very different starting lineups and very similar benches, so we'll see what happens in game three. Anyway, enjoy the games. It's that time of the season. I mean, you gotta enjoy. It's do or die games and action and great crowds, and it's gonna be something to remember, like every year. And then just that, watch it on, if you can, on your league TV, of course, and see you next week. Anything to you're looking forward to, Frankie?
I'm looking forward to it all. I mean, it's a great time of year. You know, I have not looked at the schedule of the games. I do hope the timing of them. I hope that there's a little bit more of a gap in between them, so you can see more of the games, and the, you know, instead of having to turn one off at halftime. Or turn in, depending on how you watch it, to a halftime. But yeah, this is, you know, these games are 40 minutes of great basketball. The great thing about the playoffs is you see the coaches, the X's and O's, the changes, the matchups, the strategy. If you love basketball, even if, and tell your friends who don't watch the EuroLeague, this is the best time to watch great basketball. These playoff series are second to none. And I recommend, if you love basketball, don't miss this.
You are old school, Frankie. You can have the double screen on EuroLeague TV. Remember that?
That is true. You can. And I do sometimes use it, but I actually like the one big screen so I can
see. Yeah, that's the best, I have to admit. All right, well, guys, see you next week. Enjoy the games and good luck in the Fantasy Challenge. See ya.